manipulation.
In November of 2024, Australia passed the world's first online safety amendment, the Social Media Minimum Age Act, banning social media accounts for under 16-year-olds without parental consent override, effective December 10th, 2025.
From December 10, people under the age of 16 will no longer have access to social media accounts. It's part of a new law to help keep under 16 safer online.
Platforms including TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, Snapchat, YouTube, X, Reddit, Threads, Twitch, and Kick must take reasonable steps like biometric or ID-based age verification to enforce the rule or face fines up to nearly $50 million.
Every kid is worried about this. They think it's literally their identity online.
The law enjoys broad parental support in Australia, but is fiercely opposed by tech companies, the Electronic Frontier Foundation, and Elon Musk, who calls it a backdoor way to control access to the internet.
They will glorify it, and they'll make it sound like a really fantastic thing, and it's completely not that. It's all trickery. It's all to push us into a communist style of living.
Once again, the globalists have hitched what appears to be legislation for the common good to their wagon cart of totalitarian domination, a slippery slope that normalizes mass surveillance, risks sensitive data breaches, isolates teens from educational networks, and may drive minors to unregulated underground apps, setting Generation Alpha up to be surveilled to the nth degree once they reach 16 years of age.
The company is also rolling out notifications warning teenagers of the ban, asking them to verify their age, which can be done in multiple ways: a driver's license, facial recognition, or Connect ID, which proves your identity through a bank account.
Meanwhile, the EU's Digital Services Act, fully applicable since February 2024, imposes systematic risk assessments, rapid illegal content removal, and trusted flagger systems that were heavily influenced by Stanford University's Cyber Policy Center. Orwellian frameworks originally developed under the First Amendment with U.S. government agencies and later exported to Brussels.
Under the DSA, the EU will find private global companies that operate right here in the U.S. Think Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and X. Up to 6% of their global annual turnover every time they don't censor certain speech. And that speech is based on extremely vague terms like hate speech, misinformation, and online safety. On the flip side, there's no penalty for censoring too much speech, so corporations will be incentivized to err on the side of over-censoring, helping the EU clamp down on speech it doesn't like and moving the needle toward total narrative control. In other words, if you share something on Instagram that might break the rules somewhere in Europe, Meta will have to remove your post or face a fine of about $10 billion. That's billion with a B.
This same group, the Stanford Cyber Policy Center, brought over the head or deputy head of the Sweden Psychological Defense Agency so that censors in America could learn from censors in Sweden about the best way to psychologically defend the public against populist right-wing news sources, effectively.
There will be custodial terms of 6 months.
The UK's Online Safety Act, fully operational from July 2025, has forced platforms like Substack to demand government ID for access to certain content, triggered Wikipedia high-risk classification threats, and empowered Ofcom to punish insufficient self-censorship.
You know that I've been warning you guys about the Digital Services Act, this online safety law that the EU put forth a few years ago. And one of the requirements that that law has is that to protect children online, certain content has to be age restricted. Obviously, like, they're talking about things like pornography or very aggressive or violent material. But also, yours truly has been flagged as someone who creates sensitive content. And so all of my posts now have this sensitivity.
You have until this Sunday, December 14th, 2025, to get 40% off store-wide at theowlshowstore.com. And that means all of the incredible supplements that will enrich and empower your life. They really work. We have 5-star reviews and they fund our operation to take on the globalists. So please do your Christmas shopping at theowlshowstore.com. It is a 360 win for everybody. Now, ultramethylene blue liquid, 40% off. Bovine colostrum, the very best, running out, still 40% off. Ultramethylene blue caps, 40% off. Back in stock. Ultramethylene red, that's right, it's back in stock, but it has a very low supply. Ultimate sea moss, gummies and capsules, all back in stock, 40% off at thealexshowstore.com. Again, please do your Christmas shopping at thealexshowstore.com. Get great products that enrich your life and funds the tip of the spear in the fight against the globalists.
You're tuned in to The American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Good morning. Welcome to The American Journal. We're excited that you're all joining us today on this beautiful Wednesday morning. Got a lot going on over here. We're catching up on a lot of stories and got a lineup of incredible guests joining us today. So we're excited that you're jumping on board with us. Folks, in just a little bit, the chairman of the J6 subcommittee, well, Mr. Barry Loudermilk, as many of you guys know, he comes from the great state of Georgia. He's going to be joining us because I got a lot of questions to ask him. I actually pre-taped this one. You'll notice a little bit of a difference in the hairstyles. I can't even pretend like we didn't pre-tape it. But okay, we had Barry Loudermilk on the program yesterday, and I kind of voiced my speculation in regards to the J6 pipe bomber, and I wanted his take on all of it. So he did just that. He gave us what he truly believed was the truth and what he knows based on the information he's been handed thus far. So we're looking forward to playing that for you. It was very enlightening. And we learned more because a lot of the J6 footage, the surveillance footage that was supposed to be released, hasn't been, specifically on January 5th and on January 6th, outside of where those two pipe bombs were put down. Well, there's like 8 hours of footage missing and it's cut out. It's cut out. And it's cut out in 3 to 4 different cameras. So I directly asked him, what's going on here? When can we expect all of the footage? Well, we got our response, and we'll play that for you in just a little bit. Also joining the show today is Congressman Andy Ogles. As many of you guys know, he is from the great state of Tennessee. He's been pushing back in regards to the Islamic takeover throughout the country and specifically in his state. Now, there's a lot of judges who are going after Ogles because they believe that he may have put their lives at risk. That's what they're saying, of course. The reality of it is Congressman Ogles was putting the American people on alert after a Somalian migrant allegedly sexually assaulted a woman, and she later passed away. She died after the sexual assault. Ogles, all he did was make a tweet thread and put the list of names of the judges and their photos of all of the judges that released that individual who is now being accused of rape and murder. Of course, this was brought to you by none other than Barack Obama. We'll bring that to you, and Ogles will be joining us to discuss, because now these judges, they're worried for their safety. Isn't that funny? Worried for their safety after they released, obviously, someone who should never have been on the streets in the first place. By the way, he's an illegal, and his name is Mohammed Mohammed. When his arrest was first announced, I was trying to do some digging to see if he was a U.S. citizen. You try asking DHS whether Mohammed Mohammed is a U.S. citizen. They didn't really go over too well, of course. Took them a very long time to vet. And you'd be surprised, in that jail, apparently, there was multiple Mohammed Mohammed. So they were really struggling to get back to me, but they did eventually. And they told me that he was, in fact, not a U.S. citizen. We'll also be joined in studio by Aaron Wright. As many of you guys know, he's running for Texas Attorney General. There's a lot of things going down here in the great state of Texas. Specifically, obviously, our congressional maps, which has got the stamp of approval. I'll have him sound off on that. Plus, Jasmine Crockett running for U.S. Senate. It's an absolute you-know-what show. We've got some great sound bites yesterday. She's confronted on a very friendly network, of course, but she's confronted with her own nonsense about Hispanic voters here in Texas. Something you're going to want to see for sure. All right, so let's kick things off with the immigration topic because, folks, it is heating up. This is the one thing that I think President Trump has done a really, really good job on. calling out the immigration issue in this country and trying his very best to gather the funding to go and start carrying through with these mass deportations. Again, it wasn't going to happen overnight because the courts were intentionally being flooded with these illegal aliens. That's the reason why under the Biden regime, they're being given dates insanely, like out of even your mind. Like dates you wouldn't even think of. Over a decade, a lot of these immigrants were getting dates for. Migrants, I should say. Illegal invaders. However you prefer to refer to them. Well, President Trump has been out there and he's actually calling it out, which we appreciate, of course. And he's trying to slow down the mass migration of individuals coming from third world countries because exclusively that's what we were bringing in over these last, if you want to just say, 4 years. And obviously it's intentional, right? That you want to, if you hate this country, you want to see it crash. You would bring in people exclusively from countries that cannot actually contribute. Because why? Well, these people don't have educational backgrounds. So President Trump really went off on this yesterday. He was in Pennsylvania. Take a listen to clip one.
I've also announced a permanent pause on third world migration, including from hellholes like Afghanistan, Haiti, Somalia, and many other countries. I didn't say shit, all you did. Remember I said that to the senators they came in? The Democrats. They wanted to be bipartisan. So they came in and they said, this is totally off the record. Nothing mentioned here. We want to be honest because our country was going to hell. And we had a meeting. And they say, why is it we only take people from shithole countries? Right? Why can't we have some people from Norway, Sweden? Just a few. Let us have a few. From Denmark. Do you mind sending us a few people? Send us some nice people. Do you mind? But we always take people from Somalia, places that are a disaster, right? Filthy, dirty, disgusting, ridden with crime. The only thing they're good at is going after ships.
You know, people don't like to hear that. The reality is the president is spot on. You see, I had people who constantly try to push back and say that we shouldn't be saying these things, that these people do contribute. When I ask, what do they contribute? There's never really a list. There's never really a list. President Trump is going to fire up people for saying that, and I welcome it at this point. He's not lying. He's not being distruthful. He's being straight up with the American people. We should always want the best, the brightest coming into our country, but that's not what's going on here. It's actually not even about immigration anymore. It's about conquering the West. And if you don't understand that, well, I don't know how many more clips we could play for you on this show. This has nothing to do with immigration, the immigration that so many of us came here, our family members came here for. You see, when my family came here, they came here to contribute. They came here legally. But others, well, no, that's not the case. We have to accept the fact that we have people coming to this country who want to just destroy it. They could conquer it, they could buy up lands and build their own communities. And then when they outnumber the rest of us, well, good luck getting in there. But Republicans are finally getting a set of cojones to call this stuff out. And it's about time. It's about time. President Trump, the really good thing about this is that President Trump is normalizing, calling out this Islamic takeover. And the people who have come here and continue to pull and leech from our system that is meant to benefit Americans originally and bring it back to their country. They make it very clear that this is not a priority for them, that upholding and contributing to our country is not a priority. In fact, we hear it all the time. Ilhan Omar has pledged her alliance with Somalia repeatedly, and we still continue to allow her to live here. Not because we're nice people, because we're stupid people. We have people in office who continue to go out there and call Ilhan Omar out and all of these radical Islamists who've come to this country. And sadly, they don't have the cojones to denaturalize them and ship them out. Now, President Trump did give me a couple of laughs yesterday because in clip two, he actually did call Ilhan Omar out again. And like, I don't know how many times we have to say this to you. She committed fraud. She committed fraud to get into this country and get her family members into this country.
We know, we've seen ample evidence that she, in fact, married her brother. And so while we'll enjoy this 1 second of humor here from the president, just remember, nothing's being done to get her out. Take a listen.
I love this Ilhan Omar, whatever the hell her name is, with the little ching, the little turban. I love her. She comes in, does nothing but bitch. She's always complaining. She comes from a country where, I mean, it's considered about the worst country in the world, right? They have no military. They have no nothing. They have no parliament. They don't know what the hell the word parliament means. They have nothing. They have no police. They police themselves. They kill each other all the time. I love it. She comes to our country, and she's always complaining about, the Constitution allows me to do this. We ought to get her the hell out. She married her brother in order to get in.
Well, what are you waiting on? What are you waiting on? You have the power to get rid of her. She doesn't belong in this country. She doesn't. Yes, I get a good laugh at all of this because it's true. And very few people have the guts to say it. But let's see some follow-up, Mr. President. Get her out. Get her out. Because we sit here and we allow this to happen. You know that her brother came here on that lie that they were married. Get rid of her brother. Start shipping all of them out. They're leeches to the system. They do not love this country. They have never proven or never even said that they love this country. She has pledged her alliance to Somalia. In fact, we all know it. Even Elon Musk calls it out. Elon Musk, an immigrant, by the way, one who has proven his love for this country. Well, guess what? Elon Musk is calling out Ilhan Omar. You got to take a listen to this one. Listen to clip three.
When people say, like, this is fake, I'm like, actually, well, let's look at, Ilhan Omar, who was voted into power, voted into Congress by, a large group of people from Somalia, who are in Minnesota, which is really far from Somalia, or Mamdani, who was voted as to be mayor, but by a majority of people who are not born in America. That's my understanding, at least. And then California is big time. Situation. So I don't know. We just don't want to turn into a communist hellhole, basically.
I mean, that's where we're at this point. I feel like we're just buying time. We're not actually doing anything to bring us back to our conservative values. You see, this is the problem with those on the right. You've just conquered and gotten all three branches of government. At what point do you sit here and you defend and you bring back this country to sanity? These people deported instantly. You got to get rid of them. They contributed absolutely nothing. And we sit here and you hear from all of these lefties tell you can't do that. Yes, you can. They've openly pledged their alliance with a foreign country, not this country. Somalia has more representation in our Congress than American citizens at this point. Why do we allow this? And I also don't want them to use Somalia as the fallout as the president continues to meet with other foreign countries that hate us, but are doing their best to continue on this, you could just say, mission to conquer the West. See, we allow people from Islamic countries to flood into our country. They don't love us. They hate us. But they understand that they will eventually outpopulate us. Because we don't do what they do. They know that they're on a mission. The rest of us in this country are just sleeping at the wheel. So it's really heartbreaking to see, mainly because Republicans keep calling it out, and some great Republicans are actually doing this, and they're just jumping in the fight now, which I'm thankful for. When I say great, there's not many. We don't have many. But we've got some. We've got at least, I don't know, 5 who have no problem calling it out. And that's how you make this mainstream. This is how you force people to talk about this. Make people feel a little uncomfortable, like cracking jokes. And then you start having the conversation. We have to start doing this. Because the left is going full speed ahead. They are looking, when they're getting back in power, obviously they're going to toss out the filibuster. They're going to stack the Supreme Court. This is fear-mongering. They openly say this. And then they want to get rid of ICE completely. That's the goal. That's what they talk to you all the time about. They say it. This isn't fear-mongering. Just listen to them. Listen to them. They're saying it to you. Immigration is one of the biggest issues in this country. Why? Because it will destroy this country. Doesn't matter if President Trump builds up our economy again. The next person who comes in will wipe it out if they bring in exclusively people from third world countries by the millions. By the millions. We don't even know how many of these people we brought into this country, too. That's the insane part. That's the insane part. DHS throws numbers at us. They can't tell me 100% if these numbers are factually true. It's likely more. As I know, according to my sources, Joe Biden allowed those cameras at the southern border, when they broke, not to fix them, because he didn't want to see it was coming in. They didn't want you seeing it was coming in. And now they're getting ready behind the scenes to ramp up everything. You're going to listen to clip four because Rashida Tlaib is just ready to defund ICE. And she's openly saying it regardless of who is currently the leader. Take a listen.
What my immigrant neighbors have been telling Democrats and Republicans since the inception of ICE is that they've been violating our rights. I know over and over again how many times over and over again I've been hearing people with legal permanent resident green card jogging around a park getting stopped and asked. This is, again, before this current administration. And I say this because I want my Democratic colleagues to remember this moment when the funding comes up again to implode this kind of funding into an agency that has this many complaints.
All right, so we're finally getting things heated up a little bit because, of course, now the left is worried about what could happen under a Democrat who makes their way back into the White House as well. So finally, the radicals are bending. And it's not just that, too. I got to say, finally, we're starting this trend. This trend is, which I'm so thankful for, to call out groups that are trying to destroy this country who pretend like they're civil rights groups. In my opinion, groups like CARE are awful groups. They do their very best to intimidate those who come forward and speak the truth about Islam. They've gone after Laura Loomer. They allege things against her. They are consistently going after great journalists like Amy Mack because, well, she speaks the truth and she exposes their lies. So what's going on right now? Well, Amy Mack has been screaming about what's happening throughout red states in regards to this Islamic takeover. And now leadership, because the people in this country are starting to get really ticked off, are starting to step up to the plate. The groups that are going after Amy Mack and threatening her life, well, finally, they are finally being called out for it. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis has just signed an executive order making CARE, which claims to be a group that fights for the civil rights of Muslims in this country and the Muslim Brotherhood. He's designating them as terrorist organizations. Now, this is something that started here in Texas, and Florida's catching up. And it can't stop there. It has to continue to sweep those in the South. This is a big, big move. Now, obviously, if you're CARE, you're going to listen to clip five because they are not happy about this move whatsoever. And they're even threatening legal action. Take a listen.
CARE is our nation's largest Muslim civil rights and advocacy organization. It is a registered 501c3 nonprofit organization. We have 25 affiliated chapters nationwide and over 500 board and staff members across the country. Our mission is to enhance the public's understanding of Islam, protect civil rights, promote justice, and empower American Muslims. Our mission is also to empower and educate and enlighten the masses about where their tax money is going, who is funding a genocide, and what we should be doing with our taxpayer money. And if that is going to agitate or cause discomfort to any of our Israel First politicians, then get ready to be uncomfortable because we will not be silenced.
I think Israel First politicians is a good fallout for them. The reality of it is yes, some of it definitely does have to do with that. But the other half of it has to do with what we're seeing play out right in front of our faces. Cities like Tampa are now being taken over by Muslims. And the reality of it is they're not peaceful. They're not trying to assimilate. They're not trying to coexist. They are building up their compounds. Why would they do that? This is America. We don't build up compounds. We're seeing it play out here in Texas. Dallas has been completely destroyed by this issue, and many people just don't see it because they don't really want to see it. 48 mosques over the last 2 years have popped up in Dallas alone. 48. We play the clips for you of what they say when they're at these mosques. They talk about beating women, but don't leave a mark. Just bring them back to their sanity. Don't kill your wives, but definitely beat them if they need to be beaten. We've played those clips for you several times on this show. They don't hide who they are. Well, good news. Ron DeSantis, the governor of Florida, he doesn't really back down. He's a fighter. And I've always been someone who truly, truly liked his leadership because, folks, when I was in Florida during the pandemic, he was the only one who stood up and said, all right, something's not right here. Within a couple of weeks, ended the lockdowns and was one of the first politicians to be all about medical freedom. So now he's stepping into this fight. And even though CARE is threatening a lawsuit, well, he doesn't care. In fact, he welcomes that lawsuit. If you're wondering why he welcomes that lawsuit, we'll take a listen to clip six.
I welcome the lawsuit. First of all, I get roll out of bed anymore. Someone's suing us for it. I mean, it's like, you know, some of it's just lawfare, right? But we welcome that. I mean, you know, we did do the designation for both the Muslim Brotherhood and CARE. This is something that has been a long time coming. I know the federal government's now working in a similar direction. The legislature is working on statutory laws that are going to impact this area. So I think our executive order is kind of the beginning. I think you're going to see statutory codification of how we handle different terror designations. But I welcome the lawsuit because what will happen is that will give the state of Florida discovery rights to be able to subpoena the bank records, to be able to do that. And honestly, it give us even more reason, you know, I believe. And so this is something that I know our attorney general is ready, willing, and able to be fighting on this. And so that's they have every right to sue. And then we're going to have a right to get the information that we need to make sure. But our agencies are on notice about, you know, how any of our programs or any of our operations are impacted or not impacted. And so the extent that they can be, then they're going to have a basis to be able to protect the people and the taxpayers from that. So I'd stay tuned there.
You love to hear it, folks. You love to hear it. Discovery would be great, whether CARE files that lawsuit or not. Well, we'll have to wait and see. They did so in the state of Texas when Texas did designate them as a terrorist organization. And I'm sure they're probably going to try this again in Florida. So we'll keep our eye on this. Don't go anywhere. We've got more to discuss in just a second. In the meantime, though, I want to warn y'all, this is a big one. We've got 40% off right now over at thealexjonesstore.com. So if you haven't yet stocked up on all of your supplements, well, here's another incentive to do just that. Head on over to thealexjonesstore.com right now. It's 40% off the entire store, and we've only got a couple of hours left. So head on over to thealexjonesstore.com right now. 40% off all your favorite supplements. Again, folks, we just launched the creatine gummies. Blue raspberry is my favorite. Something to try out, especially women. I keep telling you guys, head on over right now and make sure you do just that. These are great, great for your energy, great for your brain health. And if you're someone who works out quite often and you don't like your muscle soreness, well, this is definitely something to add to your diet as well. Head on over to thealexjonesstore.com and grab yourself some creatine gummies. More on the way with Congressman Barry Loudermilk.
Introducing Ultra DNA Revival, the advanced daily supplement designed to help you feel and perform at your absolute best, starting at the cellular level. Backed by cutting-edge mitochondrial and DNA support science, Ultra DNA Revival delivers noticeable all-day energy without stimulants or crashes, faster recovery and greater endurance, sharper focus and mental clarity, support for healthy blood sugar levels, stronger immune system function, enhanced liver health and natural detoxification, reduces everyday stress and anxiety, protection against oxidative stress, and the visible signs of aging. And again, this is a private label of an already best-selling brand that found this. Thousands of customers report feeling the difference in as little as 7 to 14 days. Right now, take advantage of our best pricing ever. VIP members, $34.95. Regular, $59.59. Save over 40% with a VIP membership for $30 a month. Experience the revival your body has been waiting for. Secure your DNA revival today at thealexjonesstore.com.
about what they did. This has been a long, drawn-out battle. But the website, InfoWars.com, is just a website. This building is just a building. But we can't keep fighting with our legal bills and more unless you support us. So do it now at TheAlexJonesWar.com and make sure these people lose in the end. But regardless, we're going to keep fighting. Thank you so much. I humbly ask for your support, TheAlexJonesWar.com. But regardless, share the articles, share the videos, share this report, and pray for us because we're all in this together. Thank you so much. You just saw an ad for methylene blue. Tell people the short-term effect and then now the long-term effect.
Yeah, it gives you a good energy boost. I use it before I work out. So if I'm going to be doing kettlebell workouts, like I do some methylene blue about a half hour before. It gives you mental focus. I don't crash afterwards. That's good stuff. I need some more.
How fast did it kick in?
About 15, 20 minutes. I take about a half hour before my workout.
And then you're saying you're almost out of the bottle. Was that 3 weeks ago, a month ago?
Yeah, something like that. You gave me the liquid and the pills, too.
You're almost out of both?
Yeah, I'm almost out of both.
Oh, my goodness. Well, all right. I'll give you more. Right. But for the audience, we can't give it to everybody. We need your support at TheAlexJonesWar.com. For me personally, the first week I got on it, I actually started to hurt myself because the workouts were so crazy. My trainer goes, dude, what's going on? Like 3 days into it. I go, I don't know. I
like it better than doing like a five-hour energy shot because those will make you crash afterwards. This doesn't have the crash.
So you've had no crash.
Right.
If you'll just try it, you'll be hooked. And we can fund the operation. It's a win-win. Now's the time. Get the methylene blue, bare minimum, TheAlexJonesWar.com. We have it all. Ultramethylene blue, we have the best. The Shilajit, we have the best. The turmeric, we have the best. We have the best spike protein, pro cardiovascular, ultimate life force. The best Irish sea moss, gummies, and capsules. Incredible. Research for yourself. We have the best at TheAlexJonesWar.com. And if you buy any of them, they're 50% off when you sign up for AutoShip. Cancel anytime. And you guarantee it never sells out. They hold it back. You get 50% off on future orders. And anybody that downloads for free the Android or the Apple app, you find both links to it at AlexJonesApp.com. It's free. You get an additional 20% off at checkout on top of that. Now, I had to convince Bitly to do this. They were a little skeptical because they like to give you good deals, but not this good because it's loss leader when you use the app. But because we have an 80%+ reorder rate on things like Ultramethylene Blue, it's actually working because you get it, you love it, and you keep ordering. So these are great products. I want to induce you to try them. You know our information's hardcore. Try the products. It's just as hardcore. 1776 worldwide. We will crush the 1984 globalist system. God bless you all.
You're tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to the American Journal. Welcome back, folks. As many of you guys know, we've been following the latest regarding that suspect that's been arrested in the J6 pipe bombing. As many of you are familiar thus far, the 30-year-old man who has been arrested, Brian Cole Jr., is currently facing charges. Now, we are waiting for more than just the criminal complaint. I know many people have said there's not much there in regards to physical evidence. I know many have been skeptical, of course, because unfortunately the last administration didn't make this a top priority. Well, thankfully, it seems to be one currently. Joining me to discuss is Congressman Barry Loudermilk. He is the chairman of the select subcommittee for that J6 committee that we've been talking about for so long now that we're so excited as of the summer it is back and it's with people that we could trust. I want to thank you, Congressman, for being here. It's very important that we discuss all of this because I think a lot of people think that January 6th is a thing of the past and all the pardons. And so it's exciting that you guys have not let up on this subject at all. But I wanted to get your reaction because the FBI, DOJ coming out and making this arrest saying that Brian Cole Jr. is, in fact, the individual who left those two pipe bombs outside the DNC and the RNC. What are your thoughts on that arrest?
Well, Brian, it's a pleasure to be with you. And you're right. We have been on this for about 3 years, except for about a 6-month pause at the beginning of this Congress. But fortunately, we're able to get back going again on the investigation. But even during that time, we never stopped doing the work. And one thing that has helped us to make a lot of progress here is actually having an FBI and a DOJ that is transparent and actually helping us, providing us with documents. So regarding this arrest, From my discussions with the FBI, online and offline, they are confident that, let me put it this way, at least it was this guy's phone that was on whoever it was taking those devices and putting them out. I mean, we still have a whole lot of questions. And from the briefing I had with the FBI, I'll be getting another one this week. Hopefully we'll be sharing even more evidence. But their evidence is strong. And again, this is evidence that was always out there within the Department of Justice, within the FBI. And according to my conversation with Deputy Director Bongino, he explained to me that all they did was bring fresh eyes, not just fresh eyes, but people from outside of Washington, D.C., to pick up this investigation from scratch. And it didn't take them very long to actually have this guy as a suspect and kind of key in on him. So right now I'm going off the information that I'm getting from the FBI, as well as evidence that we had uncovered prior. I feel pretty confident at this point that they at least have the person who owns the phone that they were tracking then.
Okay, well, that's a good start here, because obviously this has been ongoing for a very long time. There's court filings that say that they actually tracked this phone back in 2021, so that they had this person in mind for all of this. Do you know why the previous FBI was holding all of this up? Because it seems like they cleared him, did he? Did they?
Well, I don't know that they cleared him. We brought that up earlier this week, that in a report that I and Congressman Massey put out at the beginning of the year, is that it appeared that they may have targeted his phone. Now, we don't know for sure that it was, but it seemed to be with the same carrier. It seemed to be in the same area. It could be an Uber driver. It could be someone else. But to your broader question is, my question is, was it incompetence, or was it that the FBI just didn't want to find out who it was? And so if you compare the two bureaus, the Biden Bureau and the new Trump Bureau, they had the same evidence. It appears to me that there may have been some malfeasance, that they just did not want to pursue who. I don't know if they determined who it was and decided it didn't fit the narrative that the Select Committee was pursuing, which is you got to shoulder all of this on the back of Donald Trump. And it just didn't fit that narrative. And so they backed off. But we do know that they pulled a lot of the resources that were working on the pipe bomb investigation and repurposed them over to the investigation of the grandmas that went into the Capitol. That seemed to be what their priority was, not getting to the bottom of someone who actually was trying to do mass destruction.
Yeah, yeah. And that's one of the big issues here. So many people have been critical about this because they don't understand why this was the case. I want to also ask you in regards to a letter that was recently sent out by you directly to Caroline Younger. She's an individual who was the first one who had discovered the first pipe bomb outside of the RNC back on January 6th of 2021. You're calling for a transcribed interview with her. What do you plan on trying to poke at and find out more information on?
Well, if you look at it, she is the only person who wasn't Capitol Police or FBI or Metropolitan Police or Secret Service that ever put their eye on the devices, right? She found the first device behind the RNC. It was right near her apartment. So she's the only civilian witness that we have to this. And she gave the FBI in her interview with them some pretty detailed description of it. And so I think she has some information that we can derive, because we still have this ongoing question that my committee is digging deeply into. We know via the videos that either Brian Cole or somebody associated with him that maybe had his phone placed those devices. We have it on video that at least the one at the DNC was placed. And we know that they went over behind the RNC. So we assume that it was placed there as well at that time. However, the next morning, because Vice President-elect Kamala Harris was going to be at the DNC, the Secret Service came with bomb-sniffing dogs. And as they will tell you, and other law enforcement will tell you, they have the best in the world. Their dogs walked by the place, within feet of the place where we know on video the pipe bomb was put the night before, and never hit on it after multiple passes. Mrs. Younger also claimed that when she found the pipe bomb at around 1 o'clock in the afternoon, there were 20 minutes left on the timer on it, and it was a 60-minute timer. She also claims that the device was not there earlier in the day on the 6th when she came out of her apartment. So putting those two things together, we need to know, were the devices put out on January 5th as we saw that they were, and were they picked back up on the 6th? And then placed back out again. These are some of the questions that we have. And I think she can shed a lot of light by, you know, describing to us that, you know, when she found it and when she went out earlier and it wasn't there, there's a lot of missing pieces that, you know, I think that she can shed light on, especially now that there is a suspect in custody. I think it would be very important for us to compare what she says to what he says. Look, the way that I've conducted this investigation from when Kevin McCarthy first made me chairman of the first investigative committee is, look, there's always several theories out there. Some are conspiracy theories. Some of them may be right. But the only way you get to the truth is if you try to prove a theory wrong. And I emphasize to our entire team, we have to come up with theories, but then our job is to prove that theory wrong. If we can't prove it wrong, then we've probably gotten to the truth. But the only way you can do that is to bring in more and more evidence. And that's why I think it's important for her to come in and talk to us and answer some questions. Not because we're thinking she's involved at all, just because she is the only eyewitness that wasn't at some form a government employee.
Yeah. Yeah. And do you guys plan on releasing that transcript immediately after you guys conduct the interview?
Well, it depends on what we learn in there. We've always been transparent. We may not release it immediately because if she provides information that could be a tip for us to go somewhere else, you don't necessarily want to alert them that you're looking at them. But as we've done during our previous investigation, we're going to be completely transparent with the American people.
And, you know, you've had really an uphill battle because the last J6 committee obviously deleting a lot of the work that they were supposedly working on. And so you're kind of working to find out the truth on what happened on January 6th while trying to combat all of that, which is a very difficult, difficult task. What are some of the challenges you've come across thus far?
Well, a lot of the challenges we've had before, as you brought up here, is missing documents, documents that we either assumed were there or we knew had been there but were not preserved. And even some on the committee had admitted that they didn't preserve these documents, even though the House rules and laws say that you have to. We were able to recover some of those. There were transcribed interviews with White House employees that were sent to the White House for archiving, which if we had not intercepted those would have been submitted to the National Archives under executive privilege, and we may never had seen those. There were also documents sent to the Department of Homeland Security that were put under lock and key there that we were able to break loose, as well as some at the Department of Defense. So we were able to recover some of those documents. Others we have not, but there's another piece of the puzzle that this FBI and this Department of Justice is helping us with is information that we didn't know existed. For instance, since Donald Trump has been back in office, we found out that there was a forensics lab report on the pipe bombs that no one had ever brought up before. No one had ever made it available, and that was sent over to us. You've got the DHS or the confidential human sources reports that were made available by the FBI, and I've sat and read through every one of those, which basically revealed the FBI knew that there was going to be violence on January 6th, but appeared to do nothing to help to stop it coming in. And so the same thing with Department of Homeland Security. They've been very cooperative with us, as well as most agencies. So we're beginning to find documents that we didn't know, or information or intelligence that we didn't know existed before, which is just as important as finding those documents that the committee decided to get rid of, which if every document that we found that they did not preserve or they deleted or they hid, it's without exception a document that did not support their predetermined narrative that Donald Trump was the reason this happened. It was behind it all. And it was all MAGA Republicans that were wanting to overthrow the government. So every document that we found that they got rid of does not support that narrative. And I think it's clear of why they wanted to make sure those documents were never found.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's definitely the reason why. And it's really infuriating to the American people, given all the money that they spent, our money that they spent, that they would do such a thing, because the American people deserve better. I also wanted to get, you know, this, I guess I want to ask you this question in regards to the Capitol Police, the response that day. Many people who were there at the rally did have a lot of criticism regarding the Capitol Police and their response that day. Are you actively also looking and investigating the Capitol Police on January 6th?
Well, we've been looking at the Capitol Police and their response ever since I first started the committee, because if you go back and you look at what was the number one thing that the Select Committee, the Pelosi Select Committee, were charged with doing, it was to investigate the security failure at the Capitol. There is nothing in their report about security failures. In fact, the blue team that they had as part of the Select Committee on January 6th, we can't find any information from them. It's basically they totally ignored the security failure here at the Capitol. In fact, if you go and you look, read the report, Donald Trump's name is mentioned well over 1,000 times. Pipe bombs are barely mentioned 5 times, and it's just in passing related to something else. So it's clear that the Select Committee on January 6th, they weren't interested at all in the security failure. So we have been looking at that. We have some great informants. One of our best informants and advisors is former chief of the Capitol Police, Stephen Sun. He's done a phenomenal job helping us understand the inner workings of the Capitol Police. And one of the things that we are actively pursuing is who knew what and when. I mean, there was all this information from the FBI. Even we've talked to someone in Metropolitan DC. They have their own intelligence division, and this individual testified that just through their own intelligence gathering, this is just the Metropolitan DC government, their intelligence division, they are part of their emergency management organization. Their intelligence was so significant, they ordered local hospitals to double their blood supply on January 6th because they anticipated violence would happen. If Metropolitan DC can see this coming, then the Capitol Police should have. Did they? But there's also some troubling aspect to that, because from our investigation last Congress, it appears that over 70% of the intelligence division in Capitol Police stayed at home on January 6th, even though there was an all-hands-on-deck call by the chief of police for every officer and investigator and agent to be on duty that day. But 70% were at home. Did they know something? I don't know. But those are the types of things that we are pursuing and we're looking into.
Yeah, I'd be interested in hearing that response, because that really is telling. I also wanted to, before you go, because I know you're a very busy man, I wanted to get your take on this. You know, we have researchers who have been, you know, sifting through a lot of the footage that you guys have released. Obviously, you guys made the commitment to releasing the January 6th footage in regards to the area surrounding where the pipe bombs were found. Our researchers have found there's about 8 hours missing currently, and that's based on 3 to 4 different cameras that they're looking for. It seems as if the footage is kind of just missing, and the time it's just like kind of clipped out, it feels like. But we don't want to make those accusations, because we don't know if this is accidental or anything. Are you guys working on possibly getting that footage and making it public?
We are. We're looking at all the camera angles that were there. I mean, we had over like 40,000 of hours of video footage that we released in the previous Congress. And we're looking to, as we're finding out of different camera angles, also the dates that we had access to. We didn't have all of the 5th in the previous Congress, and we're weekly requesting more and more as we find out. So we are looking for more video footage. Anything that the Capitol Police have, they have been making available to us. So I think they're working in a good faith effort. Let me say this. The rank and file officers of the Capitol Police, for the most part, do a wonderful job. And they are very supportive of what we're doing, because those guys, they're very disappointed in what happened on January 6th. And I think they know it's a reflection on them, and they are dedicated to protecting this Capitol. When you have a failure like this, no one wants it fixed more than those rank and file officers.
Yeah. Yeah. And Congressman, do you have a deadline possibly when you expect all of this footage to be made publicly available out there on Rumble?
I don't, because it's as we are identifying missing pieces of data or video footage, we're going and requesting those. And there is a process to get that done that requires taking down our access for the Capitol Police to reprogram what we have access to. So there's often a delay because we're in the middle of looking at something else, especially since the pipe bomb suspect was identified and arrested, that we're daily on those cameras and we're looking for additional evidence. And then generally, as we get near the end of the week, we'll let them take it down to add more camera footage. I mean, there's quite a few cameras that we're coming up with now that we had not had access to. And like I said, the Capitol Police is working with us on this. It just takes time to give us access. And then once we do have it, there's so many videos out there and so much footage. It takes our staff quite a bit of time to go in there and compare what do we have, what have we released, and what was not released before.
Yeah. Well, we look forward to seeing all of this as it continues on. I know you have your work cut out for you because it's a bit of a mess. You're digging through what should have been left behind by the previous committee. And then you're also trying to uncover a lot of the other things that did play out on January 6th and the 5th as well. So we know you're going to be very, very busy. And we look forward to seeing all the updates as they continue on. Chairman Loudermilk, thank you for all of your hard work. And thank you for joining us today. I appreciate your time.
Thank you, Brianna. Anytime.
For Barry Loudermilk, obviously the great congressman from the great state of Georgia, joining us. It was a great pre-taped interview, as many of you guys know. We talked about it yesterday. I was going to hit him with a couple of questions in regards to, well, where the heck is this January 6th footage that we were promised? And I appreciate his answer there. We've been waiting, obviously, and it does take a long time. I'm not going to sit here and pretend like uploading thousands of hours of video footage to the internet is something that could happen overnight. But specifically, you heard me ask about the January 6th, January 5th footage. Interesting enough, folks, there were cameras, 3 to 4, like I mentioned, that were outside of the DNC, the RNC, that were focused on the places where the pipe bomb was supposedly dropped off. Well, 8 hours of that footage is somehow clipped out. Yeah. And I don't want to accuse anyone of anything, but I'm wondering what the heck is going on here. Why would that footage be clipped out? Now, obviously, we asked the chairman who's in charge of all of this, and we appreciate his answers and his responses. We will be following up, though. I want to know where the heck that 8 hours of footage went on those 3 to 4 cameras. That's not just a technical glitch when it's on multiple cameras and it's missing. Again, you don't have to be a conspiracy theorist, but you just have to ask basic questions like, what the heck is going on here? And that's what we do. We ask the questions. Also, we asked him, obviously, as you saw, I asked him specifically about the suspect, because we keep hearing reports that this individual, this 30-year-old, is an autistic man who does struggle with behavioral issues, developmental issues, and he's a fan of My Little Pony. And you want me to believe that a fan of My Little Pony, a 30-year-old man, somehow, some way was planning to blow up bombs outside of the RNC and the DNC? It's a bit of a stretch. Like, given the fact, again, that he has developmental issues, I am very, very nervous for this young man. Because what could happen? Well, if they really wanted to, they could probably get him to admit to anything. It's one of the issues that many people deal with when they do have these types of developmental issues, and I'm deeply concerned. I want to see physical evidence. And as you heard there, it sounded like to me, this is my opinion here, it sounded like to me when I asked Congressman Loudermilk in regards to whether or not he's confident that this is the actual perp, that he had a little bit of doubt, and he's not trying to sit there and back up what the FBI and DOJ saying 100%. He's just saying, listen, the deputy director of the FBI gave me an update, provided me with details. Again, I spoke with someone over at the FBI, told me that there's more evidence that have not yet been released, but we were supposed to get it last week when he made his first court appearance, but we still haven't received it. So I'm just going to hold back before I jump on board and think that we actually got the guy, because the chairman didn't sound like he was 100% convinced. Probably didn't want to put his stamp of approval on it as well. That's what it sounded like to me. You guys heard it. You guys listened to his exact words. We're going to be clipping this up and posting this on social for others as well. But it doesn't really sound like they're very confident. Now, again, this is based off of cell phone data, just what towers were in the area. You know, Kyle Serafin joined Alex Jones And he detailed why he's skeptical in regards to the cell phone tower angle and all of this. It sounded like to me that the FBI cleared him back in 2021. And although his cell phone was pinging, his family claims that he's a DoorDash deliveryman. And so it's quite possible that he may have been making a delivery at that hour. Again, we're going to need to see more. I'm not sold on this. I know the bulk of our audience isn't sold on this. And we don't really just eat up whatever the government serves us and say, okay, that's it. Case closed. And I don't think when you bring this case for what we've seen so far, that you're going to get a DC jury to convict that man. Why? Well, they're liberal. That's the first thing. And you can't even sell it to us conservatives who have been begging and pleading with the government to solve this case. So I'm not convinced. I'm doubtful. But I'm also not going to say completely that they got this wrong because I don't know that. I want to see more evidence. We were promised more evidence. I was promised more evidence, and I still have not yet seen it. We appreciate the J6 chairman for joining us. Obviously, you know, we ask the tough questions, but I do my very best to keep a smile on that face because I don't want to be mean because it takes a lot of guts coming on InfoWars. So many cowards, so many politicians don't do it because they don't want to be grilled. So I appreciate Chairman Loudermilk joining the show and giving us the very latest in regards to the J6 pipe bomber investigation. We'll keep asking these questions. We appreciate him setting some time aside for us to answer those questions. Speaking of that, Congressman Andy Ogles could be joining us in a couple of moments as well, because we've got a lot of questions in regards to the Islamic takeover that's happening right now in our country. He is one of the very few Republicans bold enough to speak out against it. And he's going to join us now because what happens? Well, when you speak out about it, they try to make it seem like there's something wrong with you for doing just that. And there's nothing wrong with it. You're speaking truth to power. Right now, we do have an Islamic takeover going on right now. Thanks to Obama and Biden, they have allowed these individuals to flood into our country. And sadly, if you live in Tennessee, you saw a story just a few months ago that truly, truly was heartbreaking about a woman who was sexually assaulted outside of a church, and then she later died. Well, the individual in that case, Muhammad was his name. Don't try to search that. You'll get everything in itself. But folks, we're going to ask him about that case because he is fired up about it. Now the judges are trying to go after him for outing their corruption. In the meantime, though, head on over to thealexjonesstore.com right now, 40% off site-wide. We've got more underway in just a few moments. Don't go anywhere.
If you ask Grok, or if you ask a sports nutritionist, or if you ask the nutritionists on the Olympic teams, they will tell you that creatine is absolutely a must. TheAlexJonesStore.com already has the very best creatine you can get on the market. But now we're introducing this, and I am extremely excited. Let me introduce you to this bad boy that comes in two delicious flavors. That is the recommended daily allowance of the highest quality type of creatine. Right there, concentrated, the very best. We get it from the top lab in the country, the highest rated. 5 milligrams of this a day. Bottom line, this is tasty, it's delicious, it's good for you, it helps children, it helps middle-aged people, and it really helps old people. If you're not taking creatine, you're crazy, and we've got the best. We are live, still on air, despite all the admissions of the CIA, the FBI, the DOJ, hundreds of millions of dollars spent trying to shut us down. But despite that, because you, the activist audience in the arena, stood with us with your word of mouth, your prayer, and your financial support, we have not only persevered, we have not only overcome, but we have dominated.
While other networks lie to you about what's happening now, InfoWars tells you the truth about what's happening next. Visit InfoWars.com today.
The spirit of victory lives in InfoWars. And InfoWars is more than a URL. It is more than this building. It is the people of America and the world becoming awake and standing up and rising and demanding liberty and freedom in the animating cosmos.